Thank you, Paula. That's really wonderful. I'm calling this sharing this morning The Evidence of the Spirit, A Way of Life. And I want us to start in 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 7. So as you're getting there, we're going to look at this section here, which is the main section in the epistles, which describes the manifestations. And I think that we have, over the years, many, many of us have heard wonderful sharings about these manifestations. And but we're going to look at a few highlights here that maybe we haven't considered before. So I want to read verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, think about for a moment what a manifestation is. It's something that's evident or shown. It's like a proof. And I thought of a silly illustration. Is you walk into the kitchen and someone has a pot on the stove and it's boiling away, but it's got a cover on it. And you don't really know what it is. You can maybe smell something. Smells delicious. But what you really want to do is go over there and take that top off of that pot and see, wow, spaghetti, yum. Because once you take the top off of the pot, then you can see what's in there. And that's what happens with the manifestation, is when any of these nine things happen, then we go, wow, that's from God. So now this profiting part, to every man to profit withal. A long time ago here I learned that this word profit is actually an active participle, which you could put the ending ing on it, or you could also say profitable. It's not really a noun like that there is a specific profit. It's an adjective, or it's used as a participle so that you want to say profiting or a profitable something. Like there's something missing there. And the withal part isn't even actually in the Greek text at all, but it's an old English way of saying to everyone or with all people. So what is this profiting idea? There, you have to fill in the blank, so to speak. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for a profiting situation, opportunity, time. If you're in some place where someone has a need and there can be a benefit in that particular situation, that's when the manifestation of the Spirit is given. A simple example is someone calls you up and they just start chatting and saying, hi, how are you? What you doing? And then all of a sudden they say, well, actually, I'm not doing really that great. I feel really bad today. And so you go, well, would you like me to pray for you and minister to you? And then, bam, right there, there's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, as well as any combination of the power manifestations that are needed at that time. But the reason that happened was because you were in a profiting situation and there was a need, and then God energized it. And we're going to see a little bit more about that in just a couple minutes here. But let's go on and read verses 8 through 10. For to one, so that's not a person, that's the profiting time or profiting situation or profitable situation. For to one situation is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You're going to get this here, by the same Spirit, same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, we're going to look at next week. Bob's going to teach some more about speaking in tongues and interpretation, and we already did cover word of wisdom and word of knowledge, although we'll see it a little bit more in action here today too. But what's really interesting about this section is the use of the word another. There are two Greek words. One is heteros, which means another of a different kind. And the other word is allos, A-L-L-O-S, which means another of the same kind. And so this section is divided into where the word another tells you how the groupings go and basically how these manifestations work together. So to one is given the spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, that's allos. So another of the same kind. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge go together. They're the same kind. They're both revelations. But then verse 9 starts to another, and that's heteros. Which, so another of a different kind, then we have several other anothers following each other. But of a different kind, it starts with faith, then gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, and discerning of spirits. Those are all another of the same kind. So meaning those all work together very seamlessly. And then when you get to the end of verse 10, where it says to another diverse kinds of tongues, that's also heteros, where it's another of a different kind. A different kind, speaking in tongues and interpretation, is a different kind of profiting situation, not a different kind necessarily in how it works, but how it is utilized. So that's our foundation that I wanted to start with today. And now we're just going to take a brief look at what each one of these five things do. The one manifestation which I think is not understood as completely as it could be is the manifestation of faith. And I found a really wonderful definition for it. This is a supernatural faith. This is not talking about our renewed mind faith, or even the faith of Jesus Christ. It is an actual evidence or proof of something that happens by the Spirit at a particular situation. So the definition is this: a surge of confidence that rises in a person in a particular situation and is an extraordinary certainty that God is about to act. It's like there's a surge that goes inside. You get the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and you're in a situation. There can be profit, and there's the surge that happens. It's like, yes, you can do this, and that God is going to act, and then He goes to work. So that's about faith. Now, lots of times faith works with all the other ones. You can see a few examples in the word of faith where that's the primary manifestation. Like, for example, when Elijah had to have faith to not have it rain for 3.5 years, when Jesus spilled the water on the Sea of Galilee. But even with those, there's got to be other power manifestations involved with it, even though that's the primary one. So now just look at gifts of healing. What's really neat about that is that a gift is like a present, right? Mm-hmm. And this word gift is charismata. It's like from grace. So all healings, when this manifestation is in evidence, our presence of grace. There are gifts of God of grace to us. Then workings of miracles, those two words are both plural also. And this word miracles is a common word for miracles. It means dunamis. It's a mighty works or mighty powers or powers where the power is showing God in action again. But now you would wonder, okay, why does it go on and include prophecy and discerning of spirits in with this list? Well, if you think back to lots of different times, many of you have been involved in healings and have seen healings and miracles over and over again. There's prophecy that happens within the ministering, oftentimes where there's an inspired words that are spoken or even an inspired action. Even the action of laying on of hands to someone can be inspired, where it's not necessarily like God's just hitting you over the head and saying, you need to lay hands on this person. it just naturally happens. So the definition I came up with is bubbling up with inspired words or actions. And we're going to see that when we look at a couple of records. But now discerning of spirits too, I mean, God covered that last week. The word discerning can mean distinguishing as far as knowing whether there is a devil spirit or not, or even the true Holy Spirit. But it can also mean confronting. So the power part of discerning of spirits is when you know by word of wisdom and word of knowledge that there is a presence of a devil spirit, then you can hit it head on or deal with it, and there will be more information of what you need to do with it. So any combination of these five is possible. The main point that we need to see is that they are all impossible to come to pass out of ourselves. They are a manifestation, an evidence, or a proof of the spirit within. And God can energize any combination of them that he wants to. So now let's just take a brief look at a record in Luke 13. This is the record of a lady who was bowed down and couldn't lift herself up. Starting in verse 10, this is where Jesus was. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So, hey, he was in a profiting situation. That could have happened. Well, first of all, that he could be teaching. This is wonderful. But then, verse 11, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. Oh my goodness, just even picture this. 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't, probably had a lot of trouble even walking. You know, even if you have a little pain in your back, it's hard to walk sometimes, right? But this lady was bowed over like almost in half, and she could not straighten herself out. So there's the situation. Now verse 12, when Jesus saw her, when you read things like saw or perceived or knew, those are the indication of that he received the revelation. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. So immediately he called her to him, and he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So what he said to her, I believe, was partially these inspired words, but they were also definitely God just telling him, say, you can lose her. You can confront that spirit and just say, be gone. Now we would do it in like with the name of Jesus Christ, because that's where the power is for us. But he didn't have to do that. He knew that God was going to act when he said a command like that. He said, woman, be loose, be free, be released. And immediately she was made straight. So can you see the joy that must have happened on her face? And see, this is the coolest part, see, then, is that God got glorified. The people, when they saw this miracle, God got glorified. So there was faith, there was gifts of healings, there was working of miracles, there was prophecy, and there was discerning spirits all together. And the thing is in this little two-verse incident, you can see that, but you don't have to analyze it. You just have to know that they actually all work together. Now let's look at another one. This is from Mark chapter 2, and in verse 1. This is the record of the man who was sick with the palsy. Verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Hey, Jesus is here! And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Hanging out, I remember fellowships where we were stuck in a little living room with 50 people just hanging on the couch, hanging by the door, hanging on the floor. But, you know, they wanted to hear the word. So verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, who was born of four. So four men are bringing this man sick of the palsy. A palsy is like paralytic. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Mm-hmm. When I was in Israel, I saw a house like this where the thatch was on the roof. Usually has a flat roof, and then the combination of straw and mud that they would use for the roof. It wasn't that difficult to break through it with a, you know, they had to have some kind of knife too. I mean, but it wasn't that hard to break through it. And there was probably a courtyard where it could come down to. So now, let's see how the manifestations work. When Jesus saw their faith, he perceived, right? He saw their faith. He saw all five of these guys, the four men bringing him and the man. He said unto the sick of the palsy, sons, thy sin be forgiven thee. Oh, well, he didn't tell him, like, get up and walk. He just said, your sins are forgiven you. Uh-oh, here come the scribes. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive God? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived, he perceived in his spirit that they still reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up your bed and go thy way to thy house. Now, the thing was, this was a Sabbath day, and the scribes were gathering there, and they were there to catch Jesus into doing something on the Sabbath. So this man who came to get healed, he already knew that if he got healed on the Sabbath, and Jesus told him to take up his bed, that he was going to be breaking the oral tradition of the law. So he was prepared. So that's why when it says that Jesus saw their faith, he saw that this man was willing to do whatever it was going to take to get healed. And part of the reason why he says, thy sins be forgiven thee, we don't see it in the record, but you see it in between the lines. It's like, that's what the man needed to hear. He needed to know that. So again, see, you have partially word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then also inspired actions and inspired words. So the man took up his bed. Verse 12. He arose, he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all. Yes! And so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. See how God got glorified? Oh, so wonderful. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. A couple things else that I want to share here. And verse 11. So, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The word worketh means energized. So, it's an active flow of God's power, like Bob was talking about with power plants. There's an active flow of the voltage that comes from the power plant, which is God and Spirit, to our spirit. And it's, so you could call it like active flowing energy. Now we were taught in this verse that dividing to every man severally as he wills, a lot of people were taught that that's as the man wills. And that these manifestations are as we will. So I want to explain a little bit more about this. And first look at, just read the ESV version of this verse. All these are empowered, all these manifestations are empowered by one and the same Spirit, so God, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now here it looks like it's God who is willing. And the verse, the way it's translated in King James, it looks like it could go either way, or it could be God or a man. And so I'm going to explain this. But first I want you to read Hebrews chapter 2, because this shows the same thing in verse 3, that his God is the one who does the distributing. Verse 3, how will we escape if we despise those things that are our life? Oh, I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. Those that begin to be spoken by our Lord and were confirmed in us by those who heard. Hebrews 2, verse 3. The words that our Lord spoke were confirmed in us. And this is the key verse. God, being a witness about them with signs and with wonders and with various miracles and with distributions of the Holy Spirit that were given according to his will. God gave a testimony to their words by signs, wonders, and miracles. And then it says the distributions of the Holy Spirit that were according to his will. It's always God's energizing of the distribution of the Spirit. It's according to his will. Now, just briefly, signs, wonders, and miracles. Sometimes we stick those all together, right? The manifestation is the workings of miracles. That's what it's called in 1 Corinthians. But they are also called signs and wonders. Now, what's the difference between a sign, a wonder, and a miracle? I found a really easy way to understand this. Signs attest to the authority of the person doing the sign. They have different effects. If something is called a sign, like the turning of the water into wine was called a sign. It was a miracle. That is called a sign because it points to Jesus' authority at that point. A miracle points to the power and where the source of the power is. If it's called a miracle, then the supernatural that comes to pass is pointing to God, who's the source of the power. It's a miracle is a power. And a wonder is showing the effect, like in those two records we read, how God gets glorified. It causes amazement. It causes wonder where people go, I never saw it in this fashion before. Look at what God did. So they are all miracles, but they point to different things. So that's the difference with that verse. But the point I was trying to make was that God is the one who is energizing the manifestations as he pleases. Now, what does it have to do with our will, though? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Each person, each one, because it says the manifestation of the Spirit was given to each one, right? Each person has to be willing. And then the manifestations can come to pass as God energizes them. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12, I'll just read the King James first. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe and obedience. For it is God which worketh, that's that word energy, and energizes, an active flow of God's power through us. God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what King James says, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Now I want to read the Arabic because it's quite a bit different. And then I'll show you how they actually work together. For God energizes you to will. That's the same idea, to desire, as well as to perform. To do that which you desire. The Aramaic says, God works in you to will and to do what you desire or what you are willing. Now, if we are willing, we put ourselves in a profiting situation and we're willing, right? Mm-hmm. We're willing to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. Yeah. So we say, yes, I'm willing. And then God energizes that to accomplish or to perform good pleasure, his good pleasure. So it's both. You can't say his good pleasure is wrong, because that's what the Greek says. But the Aramaic, when you look at it, then it adds to it and explains it, that it's not just an arbitrary thing. A person needs to be involved as a partner with God. Mm. And to work together with him to say, yes, I'm willing. I desire to do your will, O God. And the other thing that's so cool about this verse is that it says God energizes you to desire. So when we do desire to love each other, to meet a need, to be in a profiting situation, then he will not only take that desire that we have already, but he will increase it. He will help us to increase it. So I just want to read one more record real quickly here to end. And it shows the combination of the two. So I trust that you will see how these manifestations work together. And take some time this week to look at some of the other records of healing, not only in the Gospels, but in the Old Testament and in the book of Acts, because you can go down the line and pick out which combination of manifestations are working at that point. You don't have to, but you can. Mm-hmm. Mark 7 and verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So here we have another profiting time, right? They're bringing to him a man who's deaf and who has an impediment in his speech. So what the people are asking, doesn't say who they are, at least I'm not sure who that is, but they beseech him to put a hand on him or lay hands on him. So what does he do? Does he go right away and put his hands on him? Just because somebody asks you to put hands on doesn't mean you should do it. But what Jesus does is he takes him aside from the multitude. So he brings him and sets him aside from all these people that are looking, what is he going to do? What's going to happen here? And the man needed to have this personal attention. He took him aside from the multitude. And then he put his fingers into his ears. He put his fingers into his ears, and then he spit and touched his tongue. So he put his fingers in his ears, and then he spit, and he touched the man's tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said unto him, the phatha, that is, be opened. The actual Aramaic is pronounced ephatak. It's a real powerful word, and it is the emphasis on be opened, you know. He commanded the ears to open and his tongue to be loosed. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. One translation says that he was a stammerer. So, you know, he couldn't speak very well. It didn't necessarily mean that he was completely dumb. But anyway, he had a problem with his speech. And his tongue needed to be loosed, as well as his ears needed to be open. And so he spake plain. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there a discerning of spirits in here? Does it say that it being deaf or having a problem with his speech was caused by a spirit, right? Well, hallelujah. That's how you could see in the different records that there could be any combination of things. He had inspired action here with putting his fingers in his ears. I mean, God told him to do it, obviously, right? But taking him aside and bringing him into a situation, that was what this man needed. So it shows also, just in these three brief records, that no situation is the same as any other one. And that when we're willing, we put ourselves in a profiting situation, and we truly just love people, like that song that Sal was singing about. We love one another. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 13 follows this whole record about the manifestations, right? But it can't be done without love. It can't be done by thinking that we know all the answers or we have all the definitions. And in some respects, it doesn't even matter what the definitions are, except it is that knowing that God is the one who has the power. He's all powerful. And when we're willing to be in a situation of need and to say, yes, I will walk by the Spirit and do whatever it is that you tell me to do, then God will perform. He will energize it. He will be there for us. And just thinking about that surge of energy with faith is like, when I said that before, like that's the place we get stumbled sometimes and go, well, I don't have the power within myself to heal this person. Well, exactly, you don't. But God can energize the manifestation of faith where there can be this surge of confidence that you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to act. And He's the one who has the power. We are the ones who just need to be willing. So I was thinking last night, just to close, in the manifestations last night, it says that God was willing, He is faithful, and He was able. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can have boldness to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, here's presence of grace, here's working of power, here's confronting any kind of evil that the adversary can throw at us in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. So amen.